Hallelujah. Wasn't worship awesome? I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be here. I'm thankful to our pastor who has allowed me the privilege to be able to speak about God. Hallelujah. I am a lover of God. I love Him with everything in me. And I just want to find out how many of you that I'm going to be speaking to this morning are in that category? You would emphatically say, I am a lover of God Almighty. Hallelujah. And in the event that you're not a lover of God, I pray that by the time this service ends, you will absolutely have fallen in love with this great I am. Praise the Lord. I'd like to open the message this morning with a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in Mark chapter 8. This conversation has always piqued my curiosity. And the dialogue is pretty simple. It's not something that's real deep, but it is powerful. And the dialogue sounded something like this. Jesus was asking his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And I love the responses that they gave. They said, first, the people say that you are John the Baptist. Not shabby. They also said, some are saying that you are Elijah. I don't think that's bad at all either. And still others said of him, he is a prophet. Those comparisons are not bad. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind being compared to a John the Baptist. I hope I look better than him, but he was a fiery preacher. He got his point across. So that's not a bad comparison at all. And what could we say about Elijah? Oh, to be numbered among those where the supernatural occurs through our lives. Hallelujah. And to be numbered among the prophets. Those who would speak of the future, just as our Jesus did. But no matter how ever wonderful those comparisons are, how many of you know they're just totally off the mark? There is nothing that you and I have that we could compare our God to. And then Jesus takes it a step further. He doesn't end the conversation there. Most of us would have said, yep, that's pretty good. Let's move on. But God, in all of his wisdom, says, let's keep the conversation alive. And just to make it a bit more interesting, he questions them with a very personal question. And this query comes from the lips of none other than God when he says, but who do you say that I am? What a phenomenal question. That question is very alive this morning in this house. Who do you say that I am? It is a personal question this morning. It is not just one for the masses alone. Oh no, this is one that you and I must own up to. Our souls have to have a clear understanding of who the God is that we are saying is ours. You see, because what and how we perceive God, I want you to get this, what and how we perceive God has great impact on our lives. However your thinking was about God in 2015 impacted the way of your outcome. And how we think of God in 2016 is going to impact my outcome. So all I can say this morning is, Holy Spirit, help us to right-size God as we talk about Him. You see, the devil knows that if he can keep our thinking about this God that we serve minimalistic, small, that our God is, in Spanish we use ito, we put that behind words to indicate that we are shrinking something down. We say of a son, hijo. But when we then want to be, make him little and tender and palatable, then we call him hijito, hijito. We add that to that. I want you to know this morning that our God is not an hijito. He is the God of the universe. And you and I have got to right size our thinking. I cannot do it for you. Only the Holy Spirit is going to cause this message to come alive in your soul. You see, our higher learning institutions, they are being used in a very most strategic manner as they are infiltrating our generations and bombarding our students about the way that they think about our God. At best, they are teaching our students that our God is far removed from our daily living, that God is just too big to be interested in your daily affairs. But I've got news for the world this morning. The Bible says that if his eye is on the sparrow, hallelujah, that's not too big after all, then I know his eye is upon me. We have a voice in this world that is crying, you cannot know the truth. You can't fathom to know who God is. But I want to tell you this morning that the Bible is clear. It says that our God, who is truth, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory and we know him. And there is still another population that is getting louder and louder and louder. And they are those atheists with their cries. And all they can say is that he does not exist. Makes me laugh. If he doesn't exist, then why are they fighting so hard against us? I really did try to come up with something wise to say in regards to our atheist friends. But I decided I'd let the scripture speak. You see, the psalmist had it right. He said that the fool has said there is no God. I did not say that, so do not write us or tell us. That is God's word. And that is the response of the people around us who are not in connection, who are not called saints of God. That is what they are contending with. Those are the responses. But that, my dear friends, does not diminish the question that Christ puts to you and I, but who do you say that I am? You see, Christ's question is simply an echo of his father's voice. Do you remember in Isaiah 40:25? This was God being bold and just like he is, of great stature. He comes out on the scene and he says to the people, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Here's the truth. There is no comparison. We don't have anything within our scope to compare to the greatness of our God. He has no equal this morning. And I know that you and I who sit here this morning, saints of God, I know we got it in our mind that our God is big, that our God is awesome, that he is holy, that he is majestic, that he is almightyful. The problem lies in this, that more times than not, it's in our daily living that we downsize what and how we think of God. I get it, church. I get the struggle. I understand it too well. Life's heartaches and life's disappointments, failed dreams, those have a way of creeping into our thinking and down into our soul. And they have a way of causing us to lose sight of the grandeur of our God. I get that this morning. I get it that there are people who are sitting, including myself, in this service this morning. And you walk in here, and in 2015, you had failed dreams. You had disappointments and heartaches. There were things that you asked God to do and didn't come to pass. And so you walked in this morning with some doubt in your mind if you can honestly trust your God. Last Sunday, we were brave. A whole slew of us wrote our dreams. We wrote our desires. And we put them on these vision boards that are around our sanctuary. There were some of you that I talked to, and you said, I am afraid to put these out there. Because now it's out in the open. It's one thing when we just think about it in here. But how many of you know it changes the whole game when you actually put it out there? When you write it on a board, when you talk about it with somebody else, you know, we don't absolutely want our soul and our heart to grasp those thoughts, and we don't want to set ourselves up for disappointment in God. But I want to tell you something this morning. The things that I've read up on these boards, it'll take an act of God to cause them to come true. You want to know why? Because we are dreaming big. We are dreaming large. Our desires are huge. And our God says that I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you dare to ask me, all that you dare to dream. That's our God. Our God is able. Hallelujah. And we might be confronted this year with mighty obstacles, but I have word and news for us that we serve the Almighty God. He has no equal, people. There is nobody to compare to him. Listen to the verbiage of Isaiah 40:12. God speaking. And he says, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? Take that, devil. Take that, devil. Go ahead, do a little stomp. Take that, devil. We are here worshiping a God who is far above anything that you have ever dreamed, anything that you and I could imagine. Our God is big, people. Our God is large. He is massive. He is indescribable. This is our God. And we've got to right-size him this morning. His very people don't even have the right size of him. We have shrunk him down to our size. Folks, he's not our size. Honestly, what other God asks this question? Who else has held the oceans in his hand? I know my hand is little compared to most of you. Last night when I was preaching this, I got the biggest guys I could find in the sanctuary. Had them come stand up here. Put out one hand. Notice he said one hand. God said just one hand. I said, let's see how much water your hand can hold. So I started with a little capful. Poured it in their hand. One. Two, some of them lost it at two. The biggest hand in there could only hold three of these little capfuls. And our God says, I hold the oceans. For those of you that don't like geography, you need it in here for right now. This planet of ours holds one big ocean, which we have called five places: Pacific, Atlantic, Indian, Antarctic, and the Arctic. 71% of this planet that we call home is aquatic. Meaning this, there is 140 million square miles of water on this planet. We are talking big stuff here. The deepest part of the ocean is 6 miles deep. And with all of our knowledge and all of our technology, we have only explored 5% of these vast oceans. Do you know, let me just bring that down to size for us a little bit. It would take 352 sextillion, 670 quintillion gallon jugs to hold the water of all of the oceans. And God says to you and I hold them in the hollow of my hand. God is saying, there is no one like me. Who will you compare me to? Who is my equal? Our God is large this morning. And he goes on to say these words. And I believe they're going to mean so much more to you and me this morning. When he said, and when you go through the deep waters. Hello, they're not deep for him. I will be with you. And when you go through your little rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, you're not going to be burned up. The flames are not going to consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Our God does not have a rival. Hallelujah. And we have to right-size him, church. He is not our size. He does not think like we think. He does not act the way that we act. And he is working on a canvas that is so much bigger than we have ever imagined. This is the God we serve. Who else dares to ask this question? Who has measured the heavens? That means the universe. With his finger, big thumb to pinky. I can't even measure my face. And I know it's a lot smaller than some of yours. Who's measured it? I love it because God keeps the dialogue going and he says, lift your eyes and look into the heavens. Who created all of this? And I love the scripture because not a human voice dares try to answer that question. It takes God to answer his own question. I love it. He answers in third person. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and his mighty strength, not a one of them is missing. What an image of the greatness of our God. The sheer immensity of his power. You know, scientists, they say that there are anywhere from 1 billion to 4 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And the God that we just finished worshiping, he is the one that is hanging out those stars one by one and giving each one of them a name. That's our God. You know what? It's no big deal for him then to number the hair on your head. This morning he knew number 338 fell out. Some of you lost a large cluster. I get it. The scriptures tell us, the heavens are proclaiming the glory of God. The skies are declaring His greatness. Day after day, night after night, they are making Him known. Tonight, when the Cardinals win, those of you that booed, you just need a little more of Jesus. I want you to go outside and take a look up into the heavens and see all the stars that are out there. They're not up there dancing, singing, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder where you are. No, my dear friends, God hung them out on the sky's night so that they could shout back to us, He is really, really big. He is more than you could think about. He is bigger than anything you have ever thought Him to be. That is our God. Our part of the subdivision in the universe is called the Milky Way Galaxy. Some of you think you live in Peoria. No, 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 you live in the Milky Way Galaxy. And for us to even get a glimpse on the canvas which God works on, the smartest minds on this planet have had to come together and give us a measurement. They tell us that our universe is 100,000 light years large. And you say tonight or this morning, what is a light year? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But let me at least give it to us in an unscientific way. A light year is how fast light will travel in 1 year. And light travels at an incredible amount of speed. When God opened his mouth up and said, let there be light, and the expanse of the cosmos lit up, what was transpiring is that light was coming out of the mouth of God at 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast light travels. Thus, in 1 year, light travels at 5.88 trillion miles. I don't know about you, but I'm still having problems with foot and miles. And we have to use a 5.88 trillion ruler to even begin to understand the expanse and the immensity of this God that we serve. You see, God deals with the universe the way you and I deal with the items in our home. We move them around and we do it without thought. And God is doing this on an expanse, on a level that you and I cannot even dare and begin to comprehend, even though we want to. And just in case you're wondering, where are we at? Earth isn't even in the center of our own universe. We aren't even the largest in our own cul-de-sac or solar system. For you in the cheap seats, it's right there where the arrow's pointing. How we became impressed with ourselves is extremely incredible. You see, the fall of man, it cheated us. It cheated us into thinking that we're something bigger than what we really are. It has somehow inflated our ego. And we're impressed with our own wit. I'll even go as far as saying that some of us in this room think we know better than God. You know we're not. But let me bring it down to size. Let's put it in shoe leather. We have dumbed God down to our size so much that when we go in and talk with Him, we think we know what's best. God, I am coming to you in prayer, and I think, God, that you ought to handle this situation this way. God, I think that you ought to get my husband and square him up. God, if you would just tell my wife to zip her lips. God, I believe that if you'd let me win the lottery, I would finance 100 ministries for the glory of your name, God. God, you know that I just have good intention in my soul. God, you know this, Lord. Now, God, you know that person that really bugs me that sits behind me in church. God, that sings all off key. Holy Spirit, move them to the center aisles, would you? That's a nervous laugh. I've been doing this long enough, I can tell when it's a laugh and when it's a nervous laugh. And this congregation just had a nervous laugh. You want to know why? Because I seriously believe that almost everybody in here has come into the throne room of the Almighty with our own ideas, because, boy, we really know what's going on, God. And we have spoke to the Almighty, and we have tried to tell Him, God, just do it this way, because I know what's best. And here is God's gentle response back to us. Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give Him advice or teach Him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does He need instructions about what is good? Go like this with me. Go. You just got slapped by the Holy Spirit. Some of you need us. I'll give you time to recoup, because I know that slap was I heard it. You want to know why? Because it took me a long time to get up off the floor when God used those words to speak to me, because I thought I really knew how to instruct God regarding my life. There is a vast difference, saints of God, between Him and us. We are insignificant, and yet significant. You and I are so small. There is nothing about us that God should love us. And yet the psalmist says these words so loud and clear. Who is man that you are mindful of him? Who is man that you should even care about us? A God that in our best day we cannot get it right about how big He is. But I'm here to tell us this morning that He does care about us. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that God knows how puny we really are. This God, who is not a mamby-pamby little God, invites you and I into the grandeur of His throne room. And He tells us, I want you to come in bold. I want you to come in with confidence, because I am the great I am. together. How do you talk about a God that our minds cannot wrap itself around? How do you worship a God who is on scales that we've never even seen or heard of? And yet this morning, he invites you and I into his very presence. Who is this big God of ours? The songwriter, I think, got it best. And he puts it in these terms. You are beautiful beyond description. You're too marvelous for words. You're too wonderful for comprehension. You're like nothing I've ever seen or I've heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And then he says these words. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You need to right-size him this morning, church. You have not given your life to this Almighty God. This is your morning and this is your hour. No raising hands, no begging you. This is the God of the universe. You don't get it better than this. If you're here this morning and you need to make your way to this altar, I invite you to come. Come on, somebody. I need somebody to pray with this man. He's coming to a great God. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. To those of us that are the family of God. And you have big dreams. You have big desires. I'm going to invite you to come and join me at this altar. And the very thing that I want you to say is, God, let me get the right size of you. God, I want to open my life to truly get who you are. I invite you to come. Come join me. Is not about inspiration. This morning is about transformation. That you and I will get the right picture of our God. Those of you that are at these altars, ask the Holy Spirit. Show me. Let me right-size my God this week. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth? with me.
And I stand in awe of you. Lord, I stand.
Would you raise your hands to this great God we
serve?
And would you just let him minister to you right there where you're at?
All praises.
Would you stand in awe of him this morning?
I stand in awe of you. Lord, I stand in awe of you.
Sing it with us.
I stand in awe of you. Holy God,
to whom
all
our praise. Forgive me for downsizing you to my size. I didn't mean it. You are not my size, God. You are the Almighty. There is none like you. There is none to whom I could compare you to. As we lift this anthem one last time, I want you to know that you are welcome to walk out these doors this morning. And I want you to go with your head held high because he's the lifter of our head. I want you to walk out of this chapel knowing that God before you, who could ever be against you? So this is the official dismissal. But if you want to come and join some of these folks at the altar, please do. But you're more than welcome to exit this morning's auditorium. And I want you to go in the blessing of the Lord. And we'll see you at our next service. God bless you.